it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Wednesday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass as we proceed to give you what you need. And the Kings gave you what you needed last night as they take down the Warriors in convincing fashion. I don't know, Chris, if anybody expected that. We tried to be realistic. We tried to protect ourselves from what could happen. They weren't favored by Vegas. They're missing Malik Monk. They're missing Kevin Huerter. They limped into the 9 seed, losing 5 of their last 7. But it's a whole new season once you get to the postseason, and the Kings were able to compartmentalize the good parts of what they did throughout these last couple games with the bad and take care of business. 118-94, they embarrassed the Warriors. They embarrassed, it was about 70-30. That's what I thought it was going to be. That's essentially what it looked like to me. But it didn't sound like that once the Warriors started going Klay Thompson and missing shots all over the place. Then it felt like it was 100% to zero. Chris Watkins, yep. Just break down your initial feelings. Outstanding job with the post game. You'll be back on Friday.
That's right.
It was popping in there. I made a cameo.
You did.
An appearance as well. Somebody thought I was Chris Haynes. That's how many people were in there. They didn't even know who I was. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Yeah, it was about 70-30 in the crowd, but I'm going to tell you what, man, with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, which is a good amount of time, that thing became about 90-10 real quick because Warrior fans started hitting the exits early yesterday.
Yes.
And it was really the thing that I don't think anybody expected. It was a great, great, great day to be a Sacramento Kings fan for sure. Definitely one of the best wins that this team has had, of course, in the last 15 years, 20 years. You can maybe stretch it into there. But yeah, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. It was the worst Frank fact that we ever read. The Kings had never won an elimination game in the Sacramento era. And last night, even though it was a 9-10, it's about as low stakes as you're going to get. They still got it done against a team that has had their number and has been, the big brother thing. And I heard the Drive guys yesterday on the way into the game make a perfect comparison of, you know, the funny thing about big brother, little brother, or, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when your dad growing up, he's going to beat you when you play at 21. But one day, your kid, he'll beat you.
Yeah.
And then there's no looking back past then. And it felt like there was a bit of that yesterday of the Kings. They got beat last year. That game 7, they pushed the Warriors. I think yesterday is definitely a sign that I think we all knew last year the Kings were the better team. Mm-hmm. It's just the Warriors out-executed them. Yesterday, and we set it up all week, it was an opportunity for them to redeem themselves, a full year-long story arc that got capped off last night with another great cap to a story. Keegan Murray, the entire year, this entire season, all 82 games leading into that 83rd game last night, was to get Keegan Murray to a point where he could be a guy that we rely on in big games. And Keegan Murray absolutely delivered, 8 of 13 from 3 last night. He was incredible. And to me, I mean, the fact that the Kings just pulled themselves up from their bootstraps against a Warriors team that walks in with supreme confidence, they've been there, done that. Again, last night was supposed to be a speed bump on the road for Golden State. And the fact that the Kings never let that deter them, set the tone physically from the jump, which is exactly what we wanted to see. It was a perfect night. It really was.
It really was. And the fact is, if it was a one-game playoff last season, everybody would have picked the Kings. This is what we saw from the Kings in the first two games. They're younger.
Yep.
They're faster. They're hungrier.
Yep.
That's who they are. In a 7-game series, you have the IQs of a Steve Kerr. Don't let Warriors fans tell it because they can't stand that man. But you have the IQ of a Steve Kerr. You have the IQ of a Draymond Green when he's not getting kicked out. You have the IQ of a Stephen Curry. But in a 1-game series, you never know what could happen.
Yeah.
The only reason people like myself weren't incredibly confident was just the fact that the Kings had lost five of their last seven.
Absolutely.
And you didn't have Malik Monk, who had been a killer against the Warriors. But besides that, we understood that the Kings athletically, nobody for Kuminga, but but as you...
And you saw that play out,
and you saw that play out, but Kuminga had 31 the last time they played, and they still won. When you look at just where these two teams are at, the Kings, not that they should have won, but they obviously should not have been heavy underdogs. It's all this other stuff that you can finally put to bed with the Warriors. I'm never counting them out. Well, you can count them out now because they're out. They're on a plane to Cancun right now.
Real sad.
So the bottom line is that we understood where the Kings could beat the Warriors. It was just a matter of, were they going to be able to pull it off?
Yeah, no, and the fact that they did it on the defensive end, to me, again, is a beautiful tie-in to the entirety of the season and the growth of this team. Again, the fact that they just won this game with Keegan Murray being a fantastic player and also on the defensive end, if you would have told me that a year and a half ago or a year and a month ago, I would have said you're absolutely out of your mind. Maybe not so much about the Keegan Murray part, but specifically about the defense. And definitely the fact that Keegan stepped up that big in a game against the Warriors, absolutely. But this is exactly the point where the Kings want to be at right now. Of course, they want Malik Monk. Of course, they want to be at full strength with Kevin Huerter as well. But I think if we're talking about, and of course we're going to talk about it when the offseason comes, but and it's going to be a conversation later today of is this already a successful season or what do they need to do, if anything. I think the fact that the Kings have now gotten to the point where they're winning games on the defensive end first. They hit Brendan's number yesterday of 20 points off turnovers, and Keegan Murray is at the point where, you know, I know there's been inconsistencies, but in a gotta have it game, Keegan was able to step up and be this team's leading scorer. I think that was the whole point of this year. We've talked about it for months. They were not going to win a championship this year. This year was about building stepping stones that were going to help you into the future. And to me, last night is a perfect example of the growth that this team has had in just a calendar year. Again, to have that same opponent, same venue, everything, elimination game, all re-lined up for you and for the Kings to go out there and execute and, again, right the wrong that happened last year.
Right.
Again, you just can't ask for a better performance in a better game.
They were firing on all cylinders all game long. And you got to turn the page, which we will do towards the end of the show and obviously tomorrow and leading into Friday. But this was a complete game, okay? And what we had seen from the Kings these last couple games, you get that lead. I'll be honest.
Oh, it got dicey.
I was running around the media area. Anybody who would listen saying, we've seen this before.
Oh, come on, Draymond.
They start to lose
this movie
the lead.
Before.
They were only up four. I'm thinking, this could get dicey.
Right.
And they learned from it, and they did not allow it to snowball. And Chris, I'm double checking here, but brother, I got 20/20 vision, okay? 93.3% from free throw.
Yes. How about
from
that?
From the free throw.
How about that?
From the free throw line. That's insane.
That's insane. Where's that? I mean, you know, better
no
late than
clue.
Never, right?
I have no clue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they just like the complete focus of this team. And like I talked about it yesterday on the live stream, but and it's not perfect because the Kings definitely have tricked off games here recently, specifically, you know, those Mavericks games and definitely some other games down the stretch. But this is an example of when we talked about earlier this year that the Kings had a great record, I think the best record of any of the play-in teams against the top four seeds in the West.
Right.
We talked about, because this team, as frustrating as it is, and I think it leads to a lot of the frustration, is they play up to their competition, but they also play down to their competition. And I think last night was an example of when these guys are locked in. 82 games is a long season. Mm-hmm. Things happen day by day and game by game, and you just kind of get thrown off, and you don't really strategize and lock in for a single opponent. When this team locks in and focuses up and truly can give 100% effort on a given night, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that was an example of last night. They didn't barely win yesterday. They didn't scoop by. They didn't have a late stretch that gave them the lead or anything like that. They dominated the Warriors from game plan to game end. They were the much better team, much better executing team. And I cannot believe that this team just put together that performance with their backs against the wall with, I mean, maybe low expectations helped them out in this game. But, you know, just the fact that they were able to pull this out in that moment is just spectacular.
And get the pallbearers out.
That's right.
Get the pallbearers
out. That's
right,
because it's over.
We're going to get the music a little later. Later in the show. It's a funeral.
Yep.
It is a funeral. Yep. And the Kings, look, Warrior fans, they should be thanking the Kings.
Because we did y'all a favor.
There's no more facade.
Yes.
Oh, we got to the second round last season.
Nope.
If Wiggins had been playing more, maybe we beat the
It's over
it's now.
Over, yeah.
We can confidently say it's over now.
They're talking in the Bay about it being over.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
I
heard in this morning. They talking Steph getting traded.
Everything
out there.
Well, horrendous.
Did you guys hear the biggest news?
What is that?
Klay Thompson is helping build the A's Stadium in Vegas with all those bricks.
They're doing it.
Good donations from Klay.
Thank you to Klay for that.
A lot of people coming down Sacramento's road for helping the A's move, but
Klay's
the laying
one doing
the foundation
it, you know?
Over there. You know?
And Chris and I, are we proud that we went double agent this morning and listen to Bay Area Radio?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
It was pretty great.
It was hilarious.
I'm telling you. After 2 o'clock, like maybe like during a Drive Guys commercial or something like that, just like give yourself 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth it.
It's
going
to be definitely worth it. During our breaks, of course, you got
to
check it out.
It's pretty great.
It is outstanding. When we return, we have Frank Fax breaking down the ridiculous numbers from last night, and we open up the phone lines. This show is about you.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Call line, text line. Shout out to the Sack Chat going crazy. It's Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Yeah. We on that Bay Pack. Light up that Bay Pack. That Warrior Pack going crazy this morning from the 916. Obnoxious Golden State fans by us were chanting Warriors.
Oh my God.
In quarter one, we reciprocated with Warriors chant around the 4 minute mark of the fourth, and they sheepishly got up and left Sacramento proud.
Yeah, they were
there
out.
You go.
It was getting chippy.
We were closer to the standing
some
room.
Shoving.
And it was hot. It was hot up there.
Stay classy.
For the most part, everybody did. Most of the Sacramento Kings fans did. And, you know, you got to take care of business. This is one thing that I do want to ask when it comes to fandom, because obviously I've been on both sides. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I don't know how Kings fans would act. So I'm not trying to just bag on Warrior fans and other fans. But I understand when your team wins, you get a parade, right? You get a parade and you get to have a good time and you have the feeling of winning a championship, and that's awesome, okay? I understand that as a fan. That is very easy to understand. What I don't really understand is when your team is losing, acting like Klay Thompson and saying, we have 4 championships.
Right.
This is where I kind of turn the page to, well, you're not playing, right? In the moment, when you're enjoying it with your family and friends and other fans, it's awesome. Parade, awesome. You have those memories.
Yeah.
But in a mano y mano, hey, I'm going to talk trash. What are you trying to say? That you were better at selecting a team when you were a child?
You had foresight.
And whenever you picked a team. I just don't really get the burn there.
Yeah.
Did he do it last night?
No.
Okay.
These were fans.
Okay.
Right. The fans were, it was the Exodus cam popped up. They left in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Right.
And when
Kings fans were just waving. They said, "We have four. We have four. Okay, well, show where is your ring?"
Right. Yeah, that's the amount of Klay Thompson points, assists, and rebounds combined. That's what he had last night.
I'm also like, I mean, if anything, that's that's more embarrassing. If you're like, "We have four rings," I'm like, "Brother, well, like, you shouldn't be in this game.
Right.
Like, we're the Kings. We have no rings, which is why." We're celebrating winning a 9-10 game. Y'all have four rings and are out here trying to stunt in our face about winning a 9. Like, because the thing is, if the Warriors would have won, they would have been so loud, so obnoxious.
Exactly.
Wouldn't have been
little brother this, little brother that.
All that stuff. You can't have it both ways.
I'm trying to figure out if you have four rings, then why did you pay upwards of $300 to go to the game?
Come on.
You weren't going to win a championship during the play-in. So if it didn't matter,
right?
Because you got four rings,
right?
Why are you here?
Why are you wasting your money, huh?
Yeah, why are you here in this little bitty playing game? And you got packed up in the playing game.
Bye.
You had so many good memories, Warrior.
Here's
fans.
Another good memory. You got to see your dynasty end right in front
that's
of your
right.
face. How about that?
Hope you
it was
saw
worth
the
money.
Four,
Hope
and that's where it ended.
Yeah,
that's where it ended.
Hope
all right,
you enjoyed it.
Frank Facts.
That's right.
Let's get to them.
Yes,
and definitely. Gonna be some good stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Today is definitely a good Frank Fact Day. After Frankie brought us down yesterday, bringing us back up today with some great Frank Facts. Of course, yesterday's Frank Fact that made us all sad. Entering Tuesday night, the Kings held an 0-6 record in winner-take-all postseason games since moving to Northern California in 1985. Sacramento won its first winner-take-all game in over 43 years last night. Just let that sink in for a second. The Kings organization, their franchise, had not won a winner-take-all game in over 43 years and got it done last night.
Wow.
Hope you enjoyed it. It was a complete effort from the Kings. All five starters scored 15 or more points. Of course, an aggressive Keegan Murray almost had 15 in the first quarter by himself, scoring 14 during just the first quarter on 4 of 7 from three to help the Kings jump out to an early 25-15 lead, which I know had Allen a little bit worried because we've been talking literally about this same game script for the past couple days of, you know, they're going to come out hot, a lot of energy, vibes are going to be vibing. And then, you know, thankfully Draymond got the three out the way early.
Yes.
If Draymond would have hit a three then, it would have been, okay, this is where it starts. Thankfully, Draymond hit the three at the first play of the game, and I think he hit one in the second half. But the Kings never really were in danger of losing the lead. I guess we'll get into it a little bit later. Jonathan Kuminga put the Warriors on his back in that second quarter, though, scoring 10 of his 12 first-half points in that second quarter. Golden State, to their credit, also locked down on the defensive end, holding Kings to 8 of 26. That's 31% from the field during that second quarter to reduce what was a 16-point lead all the way down to 54-50 at halftime. And it was kind of scary. And, you know, Allen did mention he was downstairs saying, you know,
I can't even enjoy my hot dog.
It's a 4-point game right now. And
I can't even enjoy my hot dog.
You even said, let me get the exact number. You were like, does anyone feel good right now about the fact that Kings are up 4 and Steph has 4 shots and Klay has 5? And at the point, Klay, as he ended up not hitting a single one of them.
Yeah.
Like, is that really, should you feel good going into a halftime when you know Steph is going to erupt and Klay is due at some point?
Right.
It was a fair point. It was a really, really fair point. And, you know, I think ultimately, you know, the Warriors looking back, I think they probably, Steph is going to look back and say, I probably should have gone a little bit more game 7 a little earlier. Yeah. 4 shots. I know the Kings were locking him up and really like almost triple teaming him sometimes. You know, but still to only get 4 up for Steph, got to feel like if you're a Warrior fan, you want to go down with your best player just chucking it up like he did in game 7 and then hope that you can get a similar result. But that brings us to the second half where the Kings shot 54% from the field in the third while holding Golden State to 35% to regain control of the lead. As formerly mentioned, Klay Thompson struggled in what definitely might be his final game with the Golden State Warriors. He had 0 points. Yes, zero. Not a single free throw.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That going glazed donut
nuts
in a play-in game.
Generational.
Is absurd.
Generational.
Absurd.
This is the same guy they call Game 7 Klay.
Well, it's Game 6 Klay normally.
Whatever.
But elimination game.
Whatever.
Well, it was Game 0 Klay. Yeah. That's what it was.
Play-in Klay hits different.
Play-in Klay is not
He hits different, as in he doesn't hit at all. 0 of 10 from the field, while Steph's 17 second half points. He tried to put on the cape there like he did in game 7. Not enough. 17 in the second half for Steph, where all the Warriors had to rally around their offense, finishing the night shooting 41% from the field, 31% from three. Of course, our guy Keon Ellis was a star of the night as the second-year guard thrived on both ends of the floor, scoring 15 points on 3 of 4 from three. He grabbed 4 rebounds. He passed out 5 assists. He blocked 3 shots. And he stole 3 balls over 38 minutes. A complete effort out of Keon Ellis. King scored 20 points, as Brandon Nunes told us yesterday. 20 points off of 16 Warrior turnovers. Golden State's 94 points on Tuesday was the second lowest total of their season. And Klay's scoreless outing was the 5th time over 951 career games, regular season and postseason, that he failed to score a single point. It was the first time that he hadn't scored since his rookie season.
So all 5 times were during his rookie season.
I would guess so. Unless, I know for a fact, I know NBC tweeted it out. I believe that is that's the case.
It has to be.
Yes.
I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, because I don't think he had a 0 point playoff game would be the only thing. I wasn't sure if that number, the hadn't done it since his rookie year was playoffs included. I know the 5 out of the 951 is part of
that. That was nuts. But
it is incredible. I mean, it is absolutely incredible that, again, Klay Thompson, of all people, and I said this, I didn't think it was going to be Klay, but I said the Warriors were going to have to play their part if the Kings were going to pull off this upset. Klay was with us. Mm-hmm. Klay was 1,000% with us. I'll take the, 33 points in a quarter all those years ago.
Yeah.
If it ultimately led to this moment yesterday, feels like a fair trade-off. Appreciate it, Klay.
And he has not been good against the Kings. I promise you, Chris, the last shot he made was that game winner in the second time they faced off when there was no De'Aaron Fox. That's the last time I saw Klay Thompson make a shot against the Kings. I'm telling you, great stuff from Frank
Thank Fax. You, Frankie.
When we return, the legend of Keegan Murray grows. We break down his night, what that means for his future and his ceiling. And we're opening up the phone lines to you, 916-339-1140. All guessing callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I know there are some double agents out there, Warrior fans. So call in if you dare. Sactown Sports.
Give and go, Sabonis to Barnes, kick out to the corner. Keegan again for three. Keegan scores it, and Sacramento is on top for the first time at 6-5. 3-point shots from Keegan Murray.
Kendra Andrews, Warriors. Jerry Bembry, Warriors. Jamal Collier, Warriors. Israel Gutierrez, Warriors. Chris Herring, Warriors. Tim Legler, Warriors.
Oh, not legs.
Tim McMahon, Warriors. Bobby Marks, Warriors.
Okay.
Dave McMenamin,
oh, come on.
Warriors. Okay. Kevin Pelton, Warriors.
KP.
Jorge Sedano, Warriors.
Okay.
Mark J. Spears, Warriors.
What?
Andrew
That's
Lopez.
Supposed to be our guy.
Kings. Andrew Lopez eats free
That's
in
right.
Sacramento.
That's right.
Andrew, I tagged him. We're trying to get Andrew on the show. Shout out Andrew Lopez, the only ESPN analyst, reporter, insider who gave the lowly Kings a chance.
I might have been one of those guys after that first Draymond backpack three, because we were talking about that before.
I feel like you want to get the threes out early with Draymond, because he ain't shooting them late.
That was the first basket of the game,
literally,
right? Was
literally.
That Draymond three? And I'm like, no, come on.
This is how we're setting the tone.
That's right.
Yeah, it was not great. Man, I'm disappointed to hear our guy Mark Spears didn't pick the Kings. We even got the Mark Spears Let's Go Sacramento thing, like the whole cut. And I've just... I'm a little disappointed that they didn't get more love. I mean, I understand they're the Warriors. I understand Malik wasn't out there, and you know, I get it. You know, I probably would have picked the Warriors too, to be honest. But I just
light,
you know, with all those guys,
light
I just,
it. Mm-hmm.
I expected somebody to be on the King side. So yeah, shout out that one reporter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess again, if it's the whole Malik Monk thing, I get it. It would have been interesting to see. I just don't know how many people would have picked the Kings,
regardless,
with Malik Monk.
Absolutely,
that's what's getting me. I don't think they're, well, you know, these numbers, this, these numbers, that. I just highly,
yes,
highly,
I agree with you,
doubt that. And it, you know, just in a game where the Kings just simply wanted it more. I think the Warriors they've been leaking oil for the last 2 years, yeah, here, and they finally just hit E. From the 707, the Kings were more focused and determined last night than I've seen all season. Keegan, Fox, and Keon were all in a different dimension. Yes, they were. And some of the numbers here, Domantas Sabonis, he has 16 and 12. Harrison Barnes, 17 points. You had Keegan Murray, of course, with the 32 points. The burner, 8 for 13 from three-ball land. De'Aaron Fox, 24, 6 assists. He was distributing the basketball. He also had 2 steals. He had 2 steals. Keegan had 2 steals. Ooh. Sabonis,
come on,
had 2 steals. And only one,
giving it up.
Only one turnover out of Sabonis. I think that's huge. And you also had De'Aaron Fox with only one turnover as well. As a team, they had 8 to the Warriors, 16.
Do you know how many Wardell had? 6.
There you
6
go.
6 of them himself.
He will make some shots, of course. He's Steph Curry, but he will eat that popcorn before the game.
That's
and
right.
He'll
behind the back.
He'll throw that thing away too.
Yeah.
He'll throw that thing away too. Trey Lyles, 7 points. I thought you would need a bigger night from
too.
Trey Lyles, but the starters just showed up. It's as simple as that. And that was really all the scoring up the bench. You had Davion that had 5. Davion was a plus 3 on the night. He was just he 8 times, 17 minutes he played. Trey Lyles with 19 minutes. He had a steal.
That's
Trey
right.
had 2 assists. Trey also had 5 rebounds. Davion had 5 rebounds.
Yeah, how about
when you look at guys that aren't even playing that many minutes and they're walking away with 5 rebounds and numbers like that, that's just a team that wanted
tenacity.
It more.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Warriors, they thought they could rest on their laurels and come in there and Steph will save us. And Steph said, it ain't the big 3. It's just big me.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
100%. And I think that's what the Kings' game plan was like, okay, like, you know, yeah, if Wiggins wants to kill us, like, I guess we're going to have to live with that. If Kuminga is going to go crazy and drop another 30 ball, I guess that's going to be okay with us. But it was going to be anybody but Steph. And, you know, we know that, you know, in that game 7, I think Steph looked around and said to what you just kind of laid out, like, I think I need to kind of take this on my back. And he just didn't feel that until too late. Yesterday, and definitely shout out the Kings starters. Like you said, their bench really didn't score that much. I'm shocked. I would have thought that they had to have some level of bench production, but you're right. Like the hunger that shows from those guys. 6 boards. Davion Mitchell was the shortest guy out on the floor yesterday, maybe with the exception of Chris Paul, who he actually, interestingly enough, we talked about, you know, Davion's minutes and him guarding Steph. They actually did the opposite. They matched Davion's minutes with Chris Paul almost exactly the entire game. And I think that was because they saw Chris Paul as a guy that they could attack. It was, you know, that's an older guy. And I think in general, the Warriors looked slow and old yesterday.
Yeah.
Kings just looked hungrier. They looked faster. They clearly are a much younger team as well. I'm shocked that the bench really wasn't even needed yesterday. But still, I mean, you got big contributions. I mean, the offensive rebounds to me, too, is the big underlying story of yesterday. We all knew about the offensive rebounds in that Warriors series last year. Of course, Kevon Looney, who also was very, very limited in the game, even though he did get a good amount of action, especially comparatively to where he's been getting. The Kings dominated the offensive boards. 8 rebounds offensively for Golden State, 15 for the Kings. They had 25 second chance points to the Warriors' 9. That's how you win this game, and that's something De'Aaron Fox talked about at the end of Game 7. He said it's the little things that ended up stacking up and losing them games. They didn't let any of the little things slip by. They were getting deflections. They were diving on the floor for loose balls. Keegan, I saw, they got two jump balls yesterday from tie-ups. Like, they did a great job of just keeping that foot on the gas and just always being hungry or understanding that there might have been a talent gap there, but they could win with their effort and just by wanting it more. And sometimes that kind of stuff can be intimidating. And I think the Warriors kind of saw how tough the Kings and how hard they were playing and said, I don't know if we have that in us anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was in the third quarter or the second. I feel like it was the second. But there was a disgusting lineup that Steve Kerr cooked up.
Oh, my God.
Just because he had nothing else. Who was it? It was, I believe it was Kuminga, Looney, maybe Draymond and Moody. There was no Steph. There was no Clay.
Yeah.
And I don't even think there was a Wiggins out there. And at that point, I thought, they're just looking for answers. They are literally looking for answers. Moses Moody, there's no way on this green earth that he only had 16 points. He's the only – him and Kuminga were the only – it says two for four from three, Chris. That just can't be right. That man had at least five threes. Yeah.
He had the three-point foul as well, which felt like it added to it as well.
And now – hindsight is 20/20. As worried as I was, and I see people on the text line and the Sack Chat saying they were worried going into halftime, as worried as I was because the big three and really the Splash Bros hadn't gotten going, if you're the Kings, you're thinking, hey, we stuck to the plan, we let up a little bit offensively, but if we lose this game because Moses Moody and Kuminga cooked us,
it is what it is.
It is what it is, but you know, the Splash Bros, they're not going to be the ones that take us down the same way they did last season. So you look at some of these numbers, and Chris Paul, he gets to 18. The Kings just made guys unplayable, and I got to say this. I got to say this quickly. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I've hit on some things during this show, Chris. I think we're approaching – I think we're pretty close to 6 months, or we just passed 6 months. I've been hot on some things, and I've been right on the money on some things, but you, my friend, hit on the Trayce Jackson-Davis not being playable. Yeah. He was unplayable.
Yeah.
He was unplayable.
He's just too young. I think it was too big of a moment for him. Like, he's still a rookie. He doesn't really know how to handle those kind of situations. I think they should have. I'm honestly shocked, and I think if Steve Kerr could have gone back, you got to start Kuminga there. Like, start Kuminga and Wiggins, match HB and Keegan, and just run Draymond at the center. Like, he's the defensive matchup you want on Sabonis anyway. I just didn't get it. And by the way, Draymond made Sabonis' life incredibly difficult yesterday. I thought Sabonis did a good job, but Draymond a couple times slapping at the ball. I think he got a jump ball as well on a tie-up or got a steal. That's what it was, a steal, and then Sabonis pushed him in the back. Yeah,
that was towards the end of the half.
Yes, and that's when things started to get a little sketchy because Draymond started yelling and Sabonis is upset.
Right.
And like, it kind of felt like that was a moment where things could have snowballed. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I mean, you know, I think he's a good player. I really do. I just think it was too big of a moment for him. And, you know, that's the kind of game where, funny enough, I think ideally you'd like to lean on some of your more veteran guys like Kevon Looney and like, funny enough, Kuminga is at this point an older guy on their team. But really, I mean, the young guys were the ones – I mean, I'm more thinking Kuminga and Moody. If they didn't play yesterday, like, the Warriors are getting completely blown out.
Yeah.
Completely blown out.
This is what we saw in games 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Last season, the Kings just ran him out the gym.
Yep.
They just ran him out the gym.
And Wiggins wasn't good enough either.
Wiggins.
Like, oh my gosh. Wiggins. We found our guy,
HB. Yeah, we found HB. Can we get a cutout of Wiggins somewhere? Because I don't know where that man went. And I know the Warriors and Warrior fans
are
looking for
him. Man. They're scary.
We got the good one last night. And we're going to need the good one again on Friday. When we return, Will, we see you on the line taking your calls, your texts, your Sack Chat. We continue to break down last night's events. And what does this mean for Keegan Murray? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Ahead now, directing some traffic, gives to Keegan, no hesitation for three, and he scores his third triple. He's got 9 points. and the Kings lead it 9-8. The Keegan Murray Show.
We have some breaking news.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
Yes, this is from Adrian Wojnarowski. ESPN sources say Pelicans forward Zion Williamson's left hamstring will make him unavailable. He is out for Friday's play-in game elimination against the Sacramento Kings and will be reevaluated in the coming weeks. A huge, huge blow to the New Orleans Pelicans. I will say, shout out our guy Frankie Cardicelli, who put us on and let us know the Kings have played the Pelicans. One of their five matchups this year has been against a Zion-less Pelicans team, and the Kings lost by 33 in that game.
Yes.
So, you know, ultimately, they've got more talent in this 33-point loss earlier without Zion. CJ was 11 of 16, 7 of 10 from 3. He had 30 points. That's a movie we've seen before. Brandon Ingram, 15 points. It was really a collective effort. Dyson Daniels had 14 in that one. Jordan Hawkins had 12 in that one. Jonas Valanciunas had 15. So no Zion on Friday, but doesn't necessarily lock you in for a win. But boy, if the Kings can play with the effort they had last night without Zion, who has been just the biggest problem for the Kings this season, they have no answer for him at all. Definitely helps your feelings towards that game, and I'm sure it's going to help our friends out in Vegas as well.
Well, look, I think both teams are going to be feeling good about this. Obviously, the Pelicans would want Zion out there.
Of course.
But if there was a team that the Pelicans would have to face when they've lost their last two and they're free-falling and they're missing their best player, it's a team that they've beaten five times.
Exactly.
So the Pelicans aren't going to be that distraught about this. At the same time, the Kings have to feel somewhat better about not having to deal with Zion. Maybe you get the ball. Brandon Ingram, I believe, is on some type of minutes restriction. I don't know if that will be lifted on Friday. Maybe now it will be with Zion out. But I was talking to someone last night, Chris, and we're getting ready for the Kings game. Someone told me last night that Brandon Ingram came out of the game against the Lakers when it was tied.
Wow.
Due to the minutes restriction. So they get
they're tight on that.
Yeah, they get 2 days. Obviously, they get Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading up to the game. Who knows what's going to happen? But Brandon Ingram will play. It's just a matter of how much. And we know that CJ McCollum, you didn't draft me. CJ, you didn't draft me, McCollum. He's going to have some things to say. Jose Alvarado, it was so frustrating. Yeah. It's been so frustrating watching the Pelicans these last couple games look like a normal team. Alvarado ain't hitting transition triples.
It's the worst.
Like Klay Thompson in his prime before Klay Thompson appeared. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. So if you're just now joining us, Styles and Watkins, Zion is out. Zion is out. We are waiting to see if Brandon Ingram will still be on that minutes restriction that he was on.
He played last 23 night. Minutes.
He played 23 minutes.
Can I ask a question about minutes restriction?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's imposed by your own team, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So by your own team's doctors, what is stopping Brandon Ingram from staying out there when they're tied at that point in the game?
Not just the coach. I mean, it's a coach's decision.
Yeah.
But that seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, the wrong decision.
It feels like, why play him at all to me?
Sure.
Yes. Minutes restriction is crazy. Football, maybe it makes more sense. It's not the same. It's a snap count.
Right.
Yeah.
But, dude, that is like, it's do or die pretty much for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those where they say, like, you know, if this was a playoff game, he'd be playing. And, like, since it is, he's playing. But, like, regular season, he's probably missing time.
That's a good point.
Any Brandon Ingram is better than no Brandon Ingram, and especially if Zion's not going to be out there. Like, I'd be surprised if Brandon Ingram's minutes restriction doesn't just go out the door, because there's no point in limiting his minutes if there is no tomorrow. The Pelicans had the benefit of having that game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they felt like, hey, if we lose,
if you lose, you're going to need him for
Friday. We just smacked the Warriors, and we keep smacking the Kings. Look, bold strategy, and hope it works out for you, but that's a great point, Chris. I mean, it was not win or go home for them, and now it will be.
And they're down a star.
So look, breaking news, Zion is out. The word is out that Zion is out.
The word is out.
And I don't even think that I want to spend too much time on the minutes restriction, because what else can you ask for if you're the Kings?
Right.
Like
you,
the Eagles will go.
You got past the Warriors in convincing fashion. Things are starting to look up for you. Yes, yeah. You're still missing Malik and Kevin Huerter, but Zion is out, and yeah. He has been a problem. And that you won't have to see Zion, that left hand, you won't have to see any of it on Friday. Let's open up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. Going to talk to Will. Will, what you got for us?
What's up, man? What's up? Hey, man, look. Don't be mean. Don't be mad at me.
Uh-oh.
But I was saying to myself, damn, man, you know, what if Zion go outside and tree fall on his big old dominant foot, man? Because we have nothing, to stop Zion, you know. But I'm sad for the guy. Mm-hmm. But hey, we got injuries too. You know, we got my boy Malik. He's out. But Keegan met the moment last night. The King. Let me tell you something, man. Keon Ellis is a stabilizing force, man. The guy. I mean, I see guys really playing defense, feeding off of Keon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see. And this is my question for you guys, Stiles and Watkins. Why did it take Coach Brown 2 years to see this guy can ball? I mean, he's got it all, man. We're worrying about him shooting threes. The guy's consistent. I think he have a better percentage than anybody on the team as far as shooting threes. And then, I mean, we see guys. You know, we had Gabe Vincent. We got Keon. We just got to keep balling, man, because I think if we got to get a Charles Barkley-type guy next year to go up against guys like Zion, man, because I think we're going to beat him without Zion. Because my man, the other guy who they use a minute restrictions, that he doesn't look the same. I don't think he's back. I don't think – yeah. There's something else wrong. There's something else wrong. He don't look like himself, man. I think we're going to win this game. But, you know – Don't get on the writers because they didn't pick the Kings, man. You have to go with logic, man. I mean, the Warriors, all them championships, and you know, and we don't have the experience, you know, and everything. So if I'm putting money on it, I would have had to bet against the Kings, but they won. I'm happy. They won, Styles.
I know. Thanks for the call, Will. We're up against it. Look. We get why they picked them, but we can still enjoy the fact that they were wrong. Yeah. For the Keon piece of this, Keon got some time early, right? It felt like a deep rotation, and guys were trying to get in. And let's not take away from the G League part of this organization and what Lindsey Harding has done and what that staff has done. Keon, I would assume, was not this guy 2 years ago. You know what I mean? He continues to develop. He continues to improve. So even from the beginning of this season. So we're just watching it in real time. I don't think he got dropped in from Alabama looking like this, okay? Even when, and Mike Brown talked about it in the postgame, even when they were thinking of converting him, they really didn't know what they truly had. And what they have is a diamond in the rough who is turning into a star right before our eyes. Brian, we see you. Got to pay some bills. We will be right back, and we will take your call expeditiously. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.